Other churches are going, I'm not sure about their story. If they handed it to me, what am I preaching out of? But I thank God for it. If you would, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30. And while you're talking there for a minute, Brother Dale walked up to me and he said, you know, what about the women? I said, well, right now it's just really my wife who works with the women. And that's actually growing in the jails and prisons. So you do pray for a female Timothy because we are going to need help in that aspect because my wife cannot handle that load on her own. So you pray for that because we do have a heart for those ladies and they are some hurting ladies. And so Isaiah chapter 30, and we'll start in verse 1 here. Isaiah chapter 30, if you have a Bible, please turn there. As a matter of fact, Brother Ronnie, would you open up in prayer real quick?
Father in heaven, Lord, you're so gracious, Lord. God, you've allowed us to gather this evening and fellowship. God, you've allowed us to hear from these workers that you have. Men that have been called, Father, to go out and reach people that we ourselves cannot reach, Father. I would ask you to bless these men. Father, we also do not forget their wives who serve faithfully beside them. At this moment, Lord God, though we do request that you would come down and fill Brother Dale, that you would empty him of himself, that you would overflow him. I would pray for liberty of the Holy Ghost, why he's not to move, Father. But I know that in a funky situation like this, we're caught off guard, Father. But that's a great thing. Thank you. God, I look for your power. I know the word here, the power to change lives, but more importantly, to change lives, God. The word has the power to change people. God, I pray you search the inward parts of people right now. Show us ourselves, God, lost and saved. We love you. We thank you. We expect great things from you, God. These are all said in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Isaiah chapter 30, and look at verse 1 here. And we'll start off, and he says, woe to the rebellious children. Young people, let me say this to you right off the bat. You don't have to be a rebel on the outside to be a rebel in your heart against your parents, against God. Older folks, if your parents are still alive, you are still their child. You have a rebellious heart. Even as an adult, I don't care how old you are. And so here Isaiah is talking about, he says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. And I watch, you know, these young children, Brother Bat, go out here in the world, and they go out there and they go to college or they go to school or go to work, and next thing you know, they're listening to the counsel of the ungodly. They've stopped listening to what their Sunday school teacher is saying. My friend, let me say this to you. If you're listening to somebody that's not saved, you are a rebellious child. You're rebelling against the Holy God. You're rebelling against this Bible. And he says, woe unto them, because there's going to come problems in your life. Well, I can handle that. Oh, I've watched many Christian children say they can handle something, and now I'm working with them while they're in jail. I'm working with them while they're in prison. I'm working with them while they're in mental hospitals and rehabs. You say, oh, that can never happen to me. Let me just say this, my friend. When they sat in their Sunday school room, do you think that they said, this won't ever happen to me? Do you think that one day they just woke up and said, well, I'm going to go out there and be an addict. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to go out there and be a thief. And I'm going to go out there and be a criminal. No, my friend, they started listening to the counsel of the ungodly. He says, whoa, take heed to that. Whoa, to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit. And you start taking on all these strange things of the world and try to put Christianity on it.
Yes.
Let me say something, people. Just because it mentions Jesus Christ of God does not make it Christian.
That's right.
But we want to take that as, well, here, this is my permission. Because it says Jesus or God, it must be good from God. But that's what you young people are doing, and I'm watching you do it in your hearts.
Okay. Yep, come on.
And you older folks are letting it happen.
Oh, come on now.
Let me just say, if you have a child here and they have a cell phone, and that cell phone goes with them in the bathroom or goes with them in a room.
Come on,
I'm just telling you right now, you are doing damage to your child.
Right.
What they're listening to. We don't guard our children's ears anymore. We've stopped guarding our children's eyes. You know what that makes us? That makes us rebellious parents. And the harm that's going to come to that. We see it, he says, whoa, because there's a different spirit that's creeping into the churches today. And they're destroying the young people. And I'm watching the parents watch that happen to their children. Then they come up to me and say, hey, Brother Dale, would you be willing to go visit my son or daughter in jail or prison? Whoa. He says, but take that not of my spirit. He says, but that they may add sin unto sin. Oh, what a sad state to be in when you're adding sin upon sin upon sin upon sin.
Right.
And God has given you, hey, everybody in this room has been warned from the word of God.
That's right.
It's not like you not have been warned. You've been warned. It's this week you've been warned. And look what it says here in verse 2, that walk to go down to Egypt, when we know that Egypt is a picture of the world. And how many people, Amy, do we work with and we hear, you know, my parents made me go to church. And now I hate church. Now I can't stand church. You know why? Because the world got in their heart. And you know where it started? In the parents' home. It started in the Sunday school classes. It started when the child was sitting there and the preaching was going on and mom and dad let them draw and play with things and everything else. Instead of making that child listen to the preaching. Instead of making that child and going home and doing family altar. How many parents in here that have children, do you do Bible studies with your children at home? Because I can show you in Deuteronomy chapter 6 where it tells you to do those things with your children. And we want to keep Egypt out of their heart when we fill it at home? We wonder why they thirst and they hunger for Egypt. It's because we're allowing you to be filled with that stuff. We're allowing it to come into your ears and to come into your eyes, young people. And you'll take a hold of that. You know why? Because you have that sin nature that's inside of you. And it's going to grab a hold of you. The devil hates you guys, man, being here.
That's right.
And boy, if he can destroy you, he starts destroying your family's name. It says that they walk down and go into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Oh, you know, everybody's gotten into this world. The government can take care of it. The government could care less about any single one of us sitting in this room today. And they don't care less about taking care of you. Matter of fact, they'll give you anything you want so you can sit there and eat yourself to death. Go look at the poor people and how much weight they've put on here in the last years. You know why that is? Because the government's allowing them to eat themselves their death. They're killing themselves with the food.
Sure.
That's what Pharaoh has for you. That's what this world wants to promise you, my friends. I don't care if you stay healthy or not. This world doesn't care about you. But look at what it says in verse 3. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame. And trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. You know, the good thing about a parent is if we load our kids up with the Bible when they do leave our home, that conviction may set into their heart and their mind. But you know what? Let me just say this. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 7, young people and older people. Look at it says in Proverbs chapter. You know, God is so good to us. He's so merciful to us that he's given us a Bible. And in this Bible, he's given us ways that we can avoid ever going that direction. You know, my son started college here. And he's out there in the world. And he's in that college. And he's with worldly people. And when he started college, I just looked at my wife. I said, I pray that we've taught him enough. Have we done enough to keep the world out of his heart? I can't babysit him. I can't go sit in the college with him. But sister, whatever we put in his heart, may God use it, and it may have been enough to keep him out of it. Because they're so prone to it right now. Because they believe, look, I got a little bit of freedom. I got a little bit of adulthood. I can make decisions. And next thing you know, they're giving somebody a ride home. I told Luke, you ever give somebody a ride home, I'll pop every tire you have in that car. You'll never have it again. You are not allowed to give anybody a ride home. You give somebody a ride home, next thing you got drugs in the car, right, and women in the... I'm not having that in my house.
Right.
My house. You go, man, he's going to be 18 years old. Don't matter. I'll beat his behind at 18 years old. You go, are you kidding me? I'm not kidding you a bit. My house, my rules. I'm going to teach my son what it is to be a responsible adult. And if he can't handle that, then we'll just make it happen. I'm not one of those people. You got to remember where I come from. I do not want my children there.
Yeah, that's
just saying. Gosh, you're awfully harsh. Good. He'll love me for it. You know what my son and my daughter can never blame me for is not loving them and telling them the truth about what's out in the world. They can never blame me for that. They can never say, well, my parents just let me do whatever I wanted to do. They can never say that to me because I didn't. Look at here in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep. Very important word. When you're reading the Bible to understand, it says, my son, keep my words. That is the very first thing God instructs you to do that's going to help you. Because in the next 5 verses, he's going to give us 7 things that keep us out of the world. Brother Dale, what a wonderful God to give us an instruction on how to stay out of Egypt. Oh, you read it. You read it about the strange woman. The strange woman is the perfect picture of the world and what it's going to try to do to you. And God said, but wait, before you face the world, I'm going to give you the answer to stay out of the world. Amen. The very first thing he says is to keep his word. That means it's got to be in your heart. It's got to be in your mind. It's got to be in your lips. It's got to be in your thoughts. Because if it's not, the devil's going to start putting that world in there, my friend. And next thing you know, you're going to find yourself on a sliding scale going out.
Right.
Brother, could you imagine if God just gave us a Bible to look at and read, but we don't have to live it? Mm-hmm. What would be the purpose of having the Bible if we don't have to live it? You see, God gave us the Bible because he knows that we have a sin nature and we don't know how to run our life outside of him. And so he's given us an instruction manual on how to run our life. Young people, if you'll just get a hold of that instruction manual that's sitting in front of you. You want to know how to get saved? It's in that book, brother.
Come on.
You want to know how to keep your life out of sins and addictions? It's in that book you got in front of. If you don't have one in front of you, that just shows me the importance of it, what it feels like in your life.
Uh-oh.
Oh. It's keep my words. That means in your hands when you go to church. Doesn't even matter if it's for a dinner. Bring your Bible. You're in church. How do you know what's going to happen?
How about it?
If I gave you something sweet to eat, you want more of it. Why? Because it tastes good. It's sweet.
Right.
You know, David said that's what God's word tasted to him.
Yeah. Good.
Great. How sweet is the Bible to you?
Right.
Look at it says, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Not away from thee. Not when I leave church. You know, it all sounded good. The preacher got up there and yelled. Our Sunday school taught a good lesson. And, you know, we did some singing. And then you leave church and forget about everything that was preached and everything that was said. And you think that's going to keep you out of the world? Adult, it's not even going to help you stay out of the world. Man, we look more like the world today than we ever have as Christians.
Yeah.
What are they saying in us? Why? Because we don't keep the word of God with us. We'd rather cuss the guy out than go ahead and say, man, look, you cut me off. It's all right. Jesus loves you, man. How about if I talk to you for a few minutes?
Right.
Come on.
Ain't happening. Look at verse 2. Keep my commandments. What is that? Keep my words. Keep my commandments. This is the second time that we're told to take these things and keep them with us. Psalm 119 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might what? Not sin against it. He didn't say you wouldn't sin, that you might not. Because even with the word of God in your heart, Nate, you still have a choice. You still have a free will. But glory to God, somebody to get up and preach this Bible and to sink deep into your heart and to keep you out of the world. Hey, I know what the destruction of the world is going to do to you. destruction. Ain't nothing good in it. I don't care what it offers you. You know, the devil took Jesus Christ and said he carried him up. What do you think he's going to do to you with those temptations? Listen, we're talking about God. We're talking about Jesus Christ, who was carried up to that pinnacle, and he was offered all these things. What do you think, human being with a sin nature, that the devil's going to be able to do to you without the word of God in your heart?
Come on.
Egypt's going to look real good. Keep my commandments and live. Chelsea, there's life in keeping God's word, isn't there? There's life. Look at when God's telling you to do something, it's not a punishment, it's a protection. Hey, do you know abortions would be cut down if people stopped fornicating?
How about it?
But they think it's a punishment that God's telling them not to fornicate, to get married. Diseases would cut down if people stopped doing that. You see, but they think God's trying to, you know, my parents are just trying to stop me from having all the fun. And that's the same way they handle God. Well, God's trying to stop me from having all the fun. Oh, no, my friend. He's trying to protect you from the hurt. He's trying to protect you from those things that are going to come your way.
That's right.
He's not doing it for a punishment. He's doing it so you don't have to go through the things that these people have been through in here.
Yes.
And you don't know all their stories. Adults, you don't know everybody's story in this room.
That's right.
I'm excluding mine. I know people in this room who've been through some brutal stuff. They can tell you. He says, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Instead of the iPhone, the Apple phone, or the Android, I'm not being the apple of your eye. How about making God and his word the apple of your eye?
Amen.
You know, Job said this. He said that he had to make a covenant with his eyes not to look upon
him.
Yep. You know, today the nakedness that's in this world. You can just go in a grocery store and the nakedness, the complete filth that's out there. You have to keep your eyes clean. You got to make a covenant with your heart and your eyes that you're not going to look on those things.
Right.
It'll destroy your life. Pornography will destroy your life. It's a gateway to many other things.
Right.
One person gets you to look at something, and next thing you know, you're smoking. Next thing you know, you're drinking.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah.
Don't take. You know, the devil's subtle.
Right.
He's not going to come out and just blast you with the big thing. Hey, young people, it's the small things that he's coming after you on.
Right.
The small things of not reading and not taking the Bible serious. It's that small thing, and once he can get you in that, he'll start putting those big things in there. And he knows the exact people to send your way.
You're not.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He's been at this a whole lot longer than any of us in this room has. He knows, Brother Bat. He knows. Verse 3 says, bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the tables of thy heart. And that means to be with us everywhere we go, when we sleep, when we talk, when a situation comes up. What's the first thing that should come in our heads? Mm-hmm. But it's not.
Yeah.
I'm guilty. I don't handle things biblically all the time. I don't handle things. A scripture doesn't pop up and go, maybe I should, you know, Jesus said this or that. But you know what? We should. He said that. If we handle things a little differently, if we handle things with the word of God a little bit different, maybe this world just might look at us and want what we have. But I know this, peer pressure. Young people, that peer pressure crushes you. You can't handle it. You can't handle the peer pressure that can really come your way. And I thank God that you're in a church, and I thank God that there's people that are surrounding you that will hopefully see the signs of that peer pressure coming your way and help you get out of that. We'd be crushed by it.
Look what it says here. Verse 4, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. That's a bond.
He said, I want you to take those things, and I want you to make a bond with them. Because you want the understanding that God has to give you. You want the understanding and the wisdom that the Bible has to give you. You see, this here, this Bible here, is God's thoughts on situations.
Right.
He's given us the answers to situations that come up in our life and how we are to handle them. The problem is we think that we can always handle everything on our own. And then when everything gets turned upside down, then Lord, would you please show me how to handle it? Oh, now you want me to get you out of trouble. Now you want to turn to me. Now you want to see what I have to say. After you've already tried to make things 10 times worse, you want me to come out and rescue you. You see, if we would just go to this and go to God and ask him, Lord, would you help me in this situation to help me see those things? How do I handle this? How do I handle that person? What would be the best for me?
The best way.
The best way is always God's way. And when you learn that, you'll understand that. But you see, in these first few verses, look what it says here in verse 5. All these things, what's it going to do? That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger, here it is, which flattereth with her words. Oh, this one puff won't hurt you. Oh, yeah, you go ahead and just look at this one picture. It's not even full nakedness.
Yeah, come on.
You go ahead and your parents are never going to know what we talked about. Your parents will never know that you took a sip of that. You'll be okay. You deserve it. You've been living that little Christian life and going to Sunday school long enough. Here, just take this. You know, that's flattering you. And you know what they do? They come along and tell you,
right,
you're old enough now to make your own decisions.
Oh.
You're becoming a man and a woman. You go ahead, and that flattery will start puffing up on your pride. Mm-hmm. And that pride's going to start working on your sin nature. And when that sin nature comes in, guess what? You're going to fall right for it. And then once that starts, regardless how bad you feel, it'll get a cannonball. It's got a cannonball for you pretty quickly. But you see, God in his mercy, starting in Isaiah, calling you a rebellious child. Here's what the first thing that we have to admit, whether we're an adult or a child, that we are rebellious.
Yep.
We're rebellious against the holy God. We're rebellious against our own families. The second thing is not to turn to the world for your comfort. Not to turn to the world for the counsel. Thank God Brother Joe and Esther sends that woman to, she says, you know, not somebody who will pay $150 an hour for, you know, worldly counsel. Praise God, don't send anybody to the worldly counsel. They almost damned me to hell.
Yeah.
Thank God we take counsel from the godly, not the ungodly. The moment you start falling into that counsel of the ungodly, you'll find yourself in more trouble than you ever thought. And then that strange woman flatters her with her mouth. This looks real good. One puff won't get you addicted. One snort of that won't hurt you. One look at this. One listen to this little hip-hop song here. It won't do nothing to you. Do you know in Ezekiel chapter 28, the devil, it says that he stood over the throne of God and he played music. It was created inside of him.
Right.
What do you think he's going to use as a weapon?
Yeah, that's right.
Go to Daniel chapter 3 one night and go read
right. What
they used to try to get people to bow down to a false god.
Right.
Music.
Yes.
Why? Because that's one of the devil's weapons. You go out there and you walk into a store after you've been saved and all of a sudden you hear one of those songs that you used to listen to back in the days and next thing you know you're singing the words and head bobbing and everything. Why? Because the devil uses that. He's put that in there. He sure got some Christian stuff out there for you to listen to.
Hey, why don't you park there for a minute about that? Go down.
Somebody told me, you ever hear of death metal music? Blah, blah, blah. They have Christian death metal music.
No, they don't.
You tell me. You tell me where God is glorified in something like that. You see, just because they put the word Christian on it doesn't make it Christian.
Right.
But let me tell you something. It tickles the young people's ears.
Yeah.
They know that.
Yeah.
You're right, mommy and daddy won't let you listen to the rock band, but how about a Christian rock band?
How about it?
How about a country rock band? How about a hip hop rock band?
Yeah.
Mommy and daddy let you listen to that because they might say Jesus once in a while.
Uh-huh.
I tell you what, I went to one of those concerts and they were smoking and drinking just as much beer as a rock concert.
Yeah.
All that nonsense. God has given us the way to avoid the world, whether we're older people, middle-aged people, young people. If you'll listen to what this Bible has to say, God will protect you from the world. Brother, I'm done.